it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 tonight. Our new time here at 6 Central Time. We absolutely love it, and we hope you're loving it too. Glenn Davis here, your humble servant. Show is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. Okay, let's get after it. I think we start off the first segment here tonight, obviously, with the Houston Dynamo. Now, tomorrow night, the Dynamo will be in action in the CONCACAF Champions Cup at Shell Energy Stadium. It's the second leg. They went down 2-1 to St. Louis in the first leg. That game is an after 9:30 kickoff, so that is a tough one tomorrow night. It's going to be interesting to see who's going to get down there for that one. But the Dynamo have to reverse that in order to advance in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, and then the winner of this between St. Louis will advance to take on Columbus. But let's go back to Saturday night, big night, 19th year of existence for the Houston Dynamo, the home opener, 29th year of Major League Soccer, and it's hard to believe I've been calling games since the inception of the league in 1996. So let's get into this one. I mean, obviously, we know the Houston Dynamo came into this game severely handicapped with all the injuries. Out Hector Herrera, the orchestrator of the team. Done for the season with the ACL, Nelson Quiñones. You got Amin Bassi with visa problems. You've got Franco Escobar out injured. There's rumors swirling around him potentially moving to Inter Miami. So along with Sebas Ferreira and the hamstring injury, you're coming into this one in a very differing way. And I think we've been speaking about this a lot, but it's all about opportunity now and getting points here at home with a heavy home schedule to start it off and trying to get people healthy. But remember, it's Major League Soccer. You have time to turn things around. But the Dynamo are quite beaten up at this point. They brought two players up from Dynamo 2, a little more on that in a little bit. So those guys may have to be a part of the action in the future, no question. Houston Dynamo started with Steve Clark in goal. It was a 251st career appearance for him. Griffin Dorsey in the right back position. Eric Sviatchenko, Mikael, Tate Schmidt. It was a midfield of Artur, Brooklyn Reigns, Coco. And then you had Brad Smith on the left, Aliu up front, and Sebastian Kowalczyk, who I think has had two very consistent games, the Pole. So let's start. Steve Clark wasn't challenged much in this game. It ends a 1-1 draw. 61st minute, Eric Tommy. 69th minute, Gabe Siegel. But I don't think Steve Clark was really tested in this. The Dynamo protected him, sticking to the good defensive scheme that they've had over the years. Griffin Dorsey, right back, tried to get it going. I think one thing we observed in this game with Sporting Kansas City is the respect he now garners. And they really did a good job of killing off that space that he normally cuts into on his left. Tim Leibold stayed home in this one to help tame Griffin Dorsey in the wide game there. Eric Sviatchenko, Mikael. I think Mikael was one of the better players on the night in this one. And then Tate Schmidt at left back. As much as I like Tate Schmidt, I do miss seeing Franco Escobar on the field. He's a gamer. Schmidt's still recovering from the ACL. Second consecutive match for him, but it's good to see him back and to see him healthy. Artur in the six in this one, as always, protecting that back four and a goalkeeper. So that's the area you're not really concerned with. Now you're having to play through Coco more because he's in the Hector Herrera role. Coco's had some good moments. In fact, he's hit two great balls, you know, that have been a part of goals that have been called back in the last two games. Hit the great diagonal and put it on the head of Aliyu, who squared it across the face of goal with his head for the goal for Gabe Siegel off the bench. But Coco's not Hector Herrera. There's no question. He's an exceptional player, but he's not Hector Herrera. And you can see the difference between this team when they true orchestrators in there, Herrera, one of the best in the league. For me, last year, the league MVP, and him not being here. That's a fact. That's life without Hector. So Coco had some good moments. Brooklyn Reigns, again, getting really key moments, I think, for his experience and growth as a soccer player. For a second consecutive game, makes a big mistake, but that's a part of it. He continues to get good minutes. He's an emerging talent. He's going to eclipse his minutes of last year really quickly. He only had 202 last year. So he's had key minutes now in two straight games. So if you go back to the Eric Tommy goal, Brooklyn should have fouled him early. It was a clearance from Mikael. Tommy picked this up at speed. He just kind of jogged with him. And you can't come in and out of games. I think that's what he's going to learn at this level. But he just kind of jogs with him. Him and Aliyu didn't deal with Eric Tommy very well. They were a little unbalanced in midfield, and they were caught high. But I think he's got to foul him there. If that's Hector Herrera, he's going to foul Tommy. And he never gets off on that run. And he's up the tempo. He's running out of defense. He gets around four guys in the box. Everybody thinks everybody else is going to tackle, and he gets a shot off and scores. So that was a big mental lapse for the goal. But all in all, I think Brooklyn Reigns, I think we see we've got a talent that's emerging there and can really be helpful in the future. Sebastian Kowalczyk, I think, again, another good game for him. Very good and tight. He had only 354 minutes after coming over last year in the summer transfer window. Ibrahim Aliyu, moments of, you know, putting some fear, a little fear into Sporting Kansas City in this one. Obviously, he's got the pace. And then got shifted out wide, which was a good change from Ben Olsen in the Houston Dynamo to bring Siegel on. And then Gabe Siegel scored his fourth career MLS goal after coming over from New York City FC. And this was a wonderful goal. I just thought it was a spectacular goal. A long diagonal ball from Coco. Picks out the head of Aliyu. He hits a great firm header across the face of goal. And Gabe Siegel gets to the back post and puts it in. That was in the 69th minute. So that would make it a 1-1 draw. So we'll see. He's going to have to prove to be important here with the dearth of strikers on this team right now. I mean, it's basically him and Aliyu. Nobody else. Sebas Ferreira is out with the hamstring injury. So it is very lean, and the Dynamo are going to have to dip into, I think, some of their Dynamo 2 players here because they basically got like four games in 12 days. So, you know, there's going to be some names that you don't know that are probably going to get minutes here. Ousmane Sila, Bernie Awadesu, Diego Gonzalez. Some of these guys are going to have to play. Kieran Sargent, Steven Anor. Somebody's going to have to look to get some of the minutes here because it's just coming thick and heavy. Again, Tuesday night, tomorrow night, they'll take on St. Louis. And then Saturday, it's the New York Red Bulls. I'll be on the call of that one on Apple on the local call. So as I think everybody found out, the Dynamo put out a press release. My involvement will be calling the home games for the Apple local call. So get an opportunity check in there. And we're also going to be doing on YouTube Soccer Matters, a pregame and a postgame show. So I want to keep reminding you, pre and a postgame show on YouTube Soccer Matters. Want to build the numbers up there, get you over there, get your reaction to things, react to some of your comments, but break games down. So opener ends 1-1. Decent crowd at this one. A lot going on in Houston. This was two great rivals getting after it, two great coaches in Ben Olsen and Peter Vermees, who were some of the most competitive guys going. It was a 500th match for Vermees. Some of the data would just reflect on the game. I think what's missing, obviously, is a little bit more risk-taking, maybe. Dynamo 60-40 possession in this one. 5 shots on target to 2. 13 shots to 6. 14 crosses to 13 for Sporting. Dynamo had more in the chances created category and more in the final third entries. So I thought they were trying to score goals more than Sporting Kansas City, but that's the first game. I don't think you put too much judgment into this one. One, because of all the problems they have injury-wise. And number two, if you looked around Major League Soccer yesterday, a lot of unforced errors, a lot of rustiness. I mean, Alan Pulido was in one time, couldn't control the ball. That's something rare for him. Johnny Russell didn't look that engaged in their first games. They got taken off by Peter Vermes. So it's different for what's going on here. But really is important for guys like Brooklyn Rain, Sebastian Kowalczyk, to take their opportunities here to earn the confidence of the coaching staff. And I think that's happened in 2 games for those 2 guys. But the big question, like it was before the beginning of last year, where do the goals come from? We'll see if Amin Bassi is going to get back here soon. That's going to be a big boost for the Houston Dynamo. We'll see what's going to happen with Franco Escobar injury-wise as well. So there you have it. Gabe Sebo off the bench and Jan Gregoš. Jan Gregoš looked a bit stiff to me, did not look very sharp. He was kind of an urgency signing. I mean, we know him from his days with Minnesota, excellent player. So the Dynamo are going to hope that they can get him up to speed. But he has not played a lot in the last, year and a half with, I guess Nashville was his last team, San Jose. He's 33 years of age now. So the Dynamo are hoping to get something out of him as well. And they go to 1 draw to start the season, which makes next Saturday against the New York Red Bulls a very important matchup. And we'll break that game down on Wednesday. So again, this week we're Monday and Wednesday, tonight 6 Central, Wednesday at 6 Central. Now, you will notice, not going to lie to you, this is taped. I had knee surgery today, so hopefully you'll hear me on Wednesday night live. So there's what we got. All right, couple of things before we hit break here, and then we're going to banner a few topics around me and the producer, Guillermo, in the next one. Final segment tonight, the former indoor player here in Houston, Olivier Finidori. We got some things to reflect on there, but we've got a big March 17th Kick Cancer Camp coming up at Dias Park. It's only $50 to go to. You sign up at the Driven, DRIVEN.net. Now, we've been fully endorsed by the United Club Soccer League, which is clubs all over Texas. This is super exciting, certainly for me personally, but just the fact that these guys took control of their own league and now they voted together. With the help of Olivier Finidori and Pat O'Toole and a number of guys, Alex Parra, to support this in a full way. And I'm certainly excited and happy about it, doing all these kick cancer things over the years. But it's great to get a little bit of strength in numbers. We put something out. We're hoping everybody will repost it from the Dynamo on down to get us big numbers at this event. We're looking to get well over 100 kids here and then build it out again next year and make our donations to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity. All right, a couple of other things before we hit the break. You get the T-shirts at LamontBrands.com, hats there as well. Again, that also benefits the 501c charity Snowdrop Foundation. We cannot look beyond all the content that we have coming to Houston. We got Copa America, June 22nd, Mexico, Jamaica, June 24th, Colombia, Paraguay, and then July 4th, the quarterfinal. That could be Leo Messi and company. CONCACAF Women's Gold Cup continues on Wednesday. And then, of course, 2026, we got the World Cup, June 14th, June 17th, 20th, 23rd, 26th group stage matches. 29th, we get a round of 32. July 7th, we get a round of 16. So it's pretty incredible, the content coming through here. And that's without mentioning next summer's Men's Gold Cup here as well. So I don't know. It's just pretty hard to believe and think of all this content that's coming through, which is pretty crazy. Okay, YouTube Soccer Matters. Again, we're going to be doing pre- and post-game shows there. There's additional content there. X and Instagram, Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD. Facebook, Soccer Matters and Glenn Davis. GlennDavisSoccer.com. Subscribe, like, follow, comment, call. These data points and engagements keep us on the air. We need them. So please, if you enjoy this coverage, please help us out. We'll appreciate that. All right, we'll take a break. Before we do, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, I-10 Marquee Entertainment Center, daily specials, whiskey and beer offerings off the charts, great traditional English pub food, Liverpool Houston supporters groups there, bangers and mash, fish and chips, shepherd's pie, all the traditional great English food. You go in, say hello to Goose and David. The place is pristine, and it's great for your soccer and football watching. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Producer Guillermo and I will banter some things around.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we roll on here. Hey, a reminder again, we're on the air at 6 o'clock Central Time on Wednesday. You can follow us at YouTube, Soccer Matters. By the way, over there we'll do a pre- and post-game show on Dynamo Games. X and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Soc, at Soccer Matters GD, GlennDavisSoccer.com, Facebook, Soccer Matters and Glenn Davis, and that is what you call shameless promotion. Subscribe, like, follow, comment. All the data points are very important. Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture, presented by Jan and Yannick Christensen. I got their products in my house, stressless lounge chairs. I got a huge L-shaped couch. Beautiful leather chairs. It is danishinspirations.com. All right. Producer Guillermo joins me now. Guillermo, I don't know if you heard, but all of our thoughts are with Albert Elise, who had a serious head injury. They put him into an induced coma and have had to do a surgery. So big prayers out to Albert Elise La Panterita, who used to play here in Houston.
That's very sad. I mean, Albert Elise, I know you keep on always connecting with Houston, and rightfully so, but as a Reals fan myself, he was in Monterrey before coming into Houston, and I would always remember, like, watching this guy. And I'm like, yo, who is this guy? He's so quick. He's so good. And then, like, not even, like, a year later, he, like, left to Houston. I was like, oh, okay, I suppose. So it's definitely a player that close to my heart one way or another.
Yeah, and he was very interested in coming back to Major League Soccer. I think he turned down an offer to Vancouver. All right, so what's on your soccer mind at this moment, even as we got the Dynamo home opener underway? But what are you thinking about, Guillermo?
Yeah, so just off the bat, you know, this weekend, Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen have set the record for the longest unbeaten run across all competitions in German football history. And that makes 33 games with zero defeats. I mean, that's just a remarkable story. That's something that the world has to know. Wouldn't you say so, Glenn?
No question about it. 59 goals scored, but here's the thing. They've only conceded 16 goals. They're well under conceding a goal a game. I think Xabi Alonso has become a huge story. Obviously, people are connecting him to Liverpool and everything. But to be undefeated in the Bundesliga and for not to be Bayern Munich is something that is pretty remarkable. Granted, Xhaka and company getting it done there. And you know what? Let's all take a Bayer aspirin in honor of Bayer Leverkusen if you got some ills and pains, because that is quite a run. And that's one of the great stories in world football. And certainly in the U.S., for people that, you know, are casually Bundesliga fans, the first thing they think of is Bayern Munich. So Bayer Leverkusen, this is an amazing story.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. Like, Bayern have been dominating the Bundesliga for as long as I could remember, honestly, but this is just such an amazing story. You know, Xabi Alonso only has very little professional coaching experience in his belt, and he's already doing stuff like this in the Bundesliga. Truly remarkable. And I mean, going back to Bayern, I mean, they are getting rid of their manager at the end of the season, which is, I don't know, a story in itself, because when they got Thomas Tuchel after firing their previous manager, I don't know, where the world was shocked, and now he's leaving at the end of the season. What do you think about that, Glenn?
Dead man walking. Not a big fan of keeping a coach on to the end of the season. It's a lot different than the Liverpool situation. The Liverpool situation, it's a beloved coach. It's a coach that made it clear that he wants to step down because of the pressure. There is a rallying cry around Liverpool now. You know, do it for Klopp. Obviously, they just won the Carabao Cup on a Virgil van Dijk goal. But it's very different than the Thomas Tuchel situation, where there is a lot of angst. There's a lot of problems in the locker room. It's the second consecutive club now that he's having problems at. I think his autocratic nature in the modern game is wearing a little bit old on people. I think his ego is massive. I think you have to have a massive ego, but it's also got to be a bit under control. So I don't like this. I say out the door now, put it in an interim coach and then figure out. But lots of problems at Bayern, and they're comparatively very, very different than the situation with Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool.
What do you think is next for Tuchel?
No question. I haven't really even thought about it. I can't even answer that. But he'll find a job because of the fact that he's won a Champions League and has done a lot of things in the past. He will get an opportunity again. But, for Bayern to keep him on in this situation, to me, is not appealing. All right, what else we got?
We're moving on to the Premier League, as we have a extremely close title race with the team that we're talking about right now, Liverpool, Man City, which are in second place, and then third place, which are Arsenal. All extremely close title race. Liverpool with 60 points, Man City with 59 points, Arsenal with 58, and in fourth we have Aston Villa with 52. I mean, it's an extremely close title race. Man City and Liverpool are facing off each other sooner rather than later. Who do you think is going to take it at the end of the season, Glenn?
Yeah, this is really, really interesting. Like, we were just talking about Xabi Alonso, but talk about the managers. Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool, Pep Guardiola, Man City, and Xabi at Arsenal right now. I mean, three of the best managers in the world. The situation for Liverpool, I think it's, you know, like I mentioned before, do it for Jurgen Klopp. Send him out a winner in the Premier League. They'd love to do it over Man City and Arsenal. Mo Salah is back now. It's a positive thing. Has opened his account. You got him back. In the case of Man City, Erling Haaland and Kevin De Bruyne are now fit and then healthy. And then you got Arsenal with Xavi trying to be the upstarts. They're still hanging in there. They come off smacking Newcastle 4-1. So I think it's a fascinating race. I think the competitive nature, top to bottom, I think a lot of people believe this. There's nothing like it when it comes to the Premier League. I don't think Aston Villa is going to be a team that's going to be in there in the end. Their job now is to be top four and fend off the likes of Manchester United and others that are trying to clip off Champions League money. But my money's going to be on Man City. De Bruyne and Erling Haaland healthy. They've been there. They've done it. But I think it comes down to Man City and Liverpool. And let's see if Xavi and Arsenal can hang there. You know, it's a second consecutive year of great football with Arsenal. They kind of were been there, done that last year, Odegaard and company. So this year, you know, with a little bit more seasoning from last year and being a part of a title race, they could surprise us as well.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm always one to root for the quote-unquote underdog, so I would be rooting for Arteta and Arsenal side. But like you said earlier, Liverpool, Man City, these are teams that have had that experience. These are teams that have been in that position and might be able to close it out. But with that being said, I mean, I'm looking at the top four, and I can't help but think, but we have, you know, Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp, German. Man City, Pep Guardiola, Spanish. Arsenal, Mikel Arteta, Spanish. And then Aston Villa, Unai Emery, I'm pretty sure he's Spanish as well. So I just, you know, goes into, you know, a lot of years of history and how Spanish football is all about, you know, technique. It's all about playing the game. And we're seeing that being projected in the Premier League in the top four.
Xavi obviously connected to Pep Guardiola. It's another great story there. A pupil of his, Pep the pupil of Johan Cruyff. So the coaching tree extends very, very far. But these are managers that are great man managers as well. And when you watch the likes of Klopp and Pep and Xavi, I mean, who doesn't want to play for these types of managers? All right, what are we moving on to now?
So we have some Liga MX results from this past weekend. We have a couple of goal scorers that you might be interested in. So
Kate Cowell and Vasquez. MLS Kate guys Cowell tearing up Liga MX. Tearing up Liga MX.
I mean, Cade Cowell has got his first goal in Liga MX. He had only scored the CONCACAF, but that's good for him. He got subbed out for Chicharito finally being able to play in the 88th minute. But it's good for Cade because when everything was happening about Chicharito coming to Chivas and all this other stuff, me personally, I was kind of afraid for Cade Cowell because they're obviously going to be playing Chicharito Hernandez for Chivas. But I really hope that they just keep playing Cade, and I really hope he keeps on scoring, and I really hope he solidifies himself as an attacker in that team. Because, I mean, I love Chicharito. I love me, my Mexican players. But at the end of the day, I will always root for the younger guy because that's a story that I simply want to always watch. But on the other hand,
youth is king also. And listen, the sentimental thing is there with Chicharito. We still don't know how well he's playing right now, okay? We have to see him play a full game and see really where he is after the injury. That's number one. If he's lost anything explosively or with his movement and mobility, that's going to severely handicap him as a player because his game is based a lot on that, and he's had an amazing career. For Cade Cowell, I love this because he's a guy that embraced this opportunity. He said he wanted to be uncomfortable. He went to a club like Chivas where he's going to be scrutinized top to bottom. We all know him as a big physical presence, powerful, strong strength. I think that in the mix with the emphasis on the technical side of the game in Mexico could become a huge, huge thing for him and for Brandon Vasquez as well at Monterrey. Both will have to do some things differently. Both can then add this to their cachet in their game. This can weaponize their game and make them better players. So I'm not in agreement with the people calling this a lateral move that these guys have to go to Europe. I'm not buying that. There's real pressure at places like Chivas and Monterrey. We've mentioned that on the show before. So I'm rooting for both of them, and they're both off to great starts. And listen, there'll be ups and downs. There'll be challenges. They'll be fighting for your place on a daily basis. But this is how you become a better player. You get out of the comfort zone. Both of them have done it.
I've been seriously impressed by Brandon Vasquez because I remember you and I had this conversation before the season started, how Monterrey sometimes plays with two strikers but plays better with one, and that we already have Bertarame as a striker. So he probably wouldn't always have that starting position. And that's what's been happening. But the thing is, when Brandon Vasquez gets subbed on, like this past weekend against Juarez, he scores the goals. Right now, he's top goal scorer for the club with 4 goals. So he's making an impact.
And he started as well, Guillermo.
No, yeah, he has started. He has started in the past. But I'm saying, like, when we were talking about before the season started, how I thought that he was not going to have that starting spot. Because against Juarez, he did not start. But he got subbed in the 45th and ended up scoring a goal. While Bertarame did not score a goal. So that's always a good case for him. He might end up being that starting striker, which honestly is a lot sooner than I expected because Bertarame had always been a really good striker for Monterrey, even like making people forget about Rogelio Funes Mori, which was there for years and done so much for the club. But here's Brandon Vasquez coming in from the MLS and he's shining in the Liga MX. So, you know, to your point, this is absolutely not a lateral move. It's pressure. It's just more to their game.
And when you're a goal scorer and you're brought with the drum roll and scoring goals is a lot of what you're judged on, to get goals early when you're with a new club like that, to win over a fan base, to win over a coaching staff, Cowell's done it, Vasquez has done it, and then you also have, in the case of the Houston Dynamo, Gabe Siegel, who's come over from New York City FC. Most Dynamo fans didn't even know who he is, and he scores in the home opener and kind of IDs himself. All right, we're up on a hard break now. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Olivier Finidori of Dynamo Soccer Club. Big news, March 17th, Olivier in the United Club Soccer League. All these clubs who are spread throughout Texas, guess what? They are endorsing Kick Cancer. It'll be at Dias Park, $50. You get a T-shirt. You go to thedriven.net. You can also find information about it at Twitter and Instagram, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. Head over to YouTube, Soccer Matters. This is where Guillermo's putting up a lot of great videos from the show, doing his magic over there. Plus, we do pre- and post-game for Houston Dynamo games there as well. Again, YouTube, Soccer Matters. We'd love for you to subscribe. And one quick shout-out here before we hit break. Cactus Music, my friend Quinn, get over there. best in vinyl selection, new and used, CDs, books, everything music and rock and roll. It's like a music history lesson when you walk in this store. Cactus Music. We'll take a break. Olivier Finidori, former Houston hotshot and Dynamo Soccer Club technical director for many, many years, is up next.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, final segment of the night tonight here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Look, it's uncomfortable when you get in an accident, but there are times when you need representation. If you need representation, you need the best. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. Look, you might get in a fender bender. You might work in a refinery, drive an 18-wheeler, construction, maritime accident, you name it, they'll cover you. They'll work 24/7, nights and weekends. It's the Daspit Law Firm. All right, great friend, certainly a great friend of mine, certainly a great friend of the soccer community here. 34 years he's been the technical director of the Dynamo Soccer Club up in Cyprus. They train out at Dias Park. He was a professional indoor soccer player here with the Houston Hotshots back in the days of the Summit. He is now a big part of the United Soccer Clubs, which is 25 soccer clubs that came together to take control of their own league. He joins us now. He is Olivier Finidori. Olivier, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right. Now, first of all, before we get into what is a big thing coming up on March 17th, which is the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic to benefit the Snowdrop Foundation, before we get into that, I do want to talk to you about the United Soccer Clubs because, number one, they all came out and have now endorsed the Kick Cancer Soccer Clinic. But I want to start off with how it formed, why it formed, and how you guys as coaches and real soccer people took control of your own league.
Well, you pretty much already said it. The technical directors, all the soccer people, if you would, In South Texas, really, just got frustrated with the former association that was led by non-soccer people. Years and years of frustration basically led to the clubs getting together, all the soccer directors and coaches working together with, of course, the assistance of EDDOA and mainly Arthur Young, who basically sacrificed his whole life for youth soccer in our community and all of South Texas. And we really pretty much put our hands together, put all the efforts together. We broke off from the former association we were with, and we formed our own. And we've never looked back. It's just been an unbelievable environment. You have basically all the soccer clubs work together now. We make the decisions as to what is the best environment, what are the best platform we can provide for all the youth players from all levels, from the lower level, from the UAs, the U9s, et cetera, and all the way to the ECRL, you know, TDCNL, USC regional level. So we've come a long way, and it really is a pleasure. You go to the games now on the weekends, and, you know, everybody's on the same page. We work together to make this the best environment possible for all the youth players.
Yeah, I love that, because there is a collective sense of not just, well, we're only going to worry about our club, but now all of you guys got skin in the game and are supporting each other. I absolutely love this concept, because I think sometimes we don't control our soccer community as soccer people and people that are out for the right sentiments around the game. How many clubs? 25, right? And they stretch into San Antonio and other areas, right?
Yes, we're way over that now. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I think we're probably in the 40s now at this point. If you look at all the just the clubs in the Houston area, then obviously it encompasses all the way to the San Antonio area and Austin and Corpus Christi and the Valley. We have teams coming from Beaumont. So, you know, it's got big. People that were, again, with the other associations all tried to go and come in. But we also, even though we obviously have all kinds of diversity with the clubs, you know, we are very specific as to who can qualify to play in this league. We want to make sure it's an organized soccer club that is well-run, that is run by professionals, that is organized, that's financially sound and responsible, that can operate to move forward and allow the league to grow. And so far, it's been a great success.
Olivier Finidori, Dynamo Soccer Club. I would imagine once everybody saw that you guys were controlling the elements of this and really putting the focus on player development, soccer, competition, all the right things as soccer people, I would imagine a lot of people have come to you and said, you know, we want to be a part of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, the majority of the organized clubs really are now playing for the USC. There might be a few, you know, I would call satellite clubs, or maybe clubs that really don't share our vision that have decided to play in a different league. Otherwise, all the top professional clubs, really, to be perfectly honest, are playing for the United Soccer Club League.
All right. So, look, you proposed that a recent meeting, and of course, your club, Dynamo Soccer Club, for, I don't know, 17, 18 years have been running the clinic consistently, which is amazing in itself. But you proposed to all the clubs in the United Soccer Club's cachet to be a part of this upcoming Kick Cancer Clinic on the 17th of March. Tell me how that all happened.
Well, obviously, Glenn, you know, since you're the founder of this program and you know how passionate we are, we've always been with the Dynamo Soccer Club. We used to get so much more support, and unfortunately, lately for the last few years, you know, that the support has kind of gone down. And so I talked to a few of those guys, and last week we had our AGM. So in front of all the clubs, I just went ahead and brought up the idea. How about if, as a league, we were to endorse this wonderful program instead of being hosted by the Dynamos and everything else and you guys try to help? Let's just put all of our efforts together and it really make a big difference, because it's something that it is such a great, great program, such a great cause. And basically, with just a few minutes, you know, the clubs were jumping right on board. They really loved the idea. So we basically got off the call and reached out to the USC board, which, again, the board is formed of directors. The president is Pat O'Toole with Challenge, and you have Aaron Metzger with Westlake, Stephen Ferguson with Westlake, Mark Ruffo with Albion, Eldon with the Rice Soccer Club, and myself. And got on the board, and I basically put a proposal, you know, to get an official approval that the league would actually endorse the USC. And it was a unanimous response from all the directors, everybody from the whole board. Everybody jumped on board and is excited about the idea. So let's go and make this big.
Yeah, and we're going to be able to tap into the resources of all the clubs, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So basically, as a USC club, this is something that we're going to expect every single club into the USC league to go and promote, advertise. The clubs will go ahead and send their staff to this year, for example, it's going to be at Dyess Park. So yes, we will host it. But technically, it's going to be by all the Houston club staff that will go and come and work the clinic. They will promote within the club. So we'll have players from every single club from the Houston area come to Dyess Park. And we have guys with the Austin Sting right now that are putting their heads together and try to get all the Western clubs to put their efforts together and hopefully have a venue there in the West.
Olivier Finidori joining us, Dynamo Soccer Club, also big part of United Soccer Clubs, which is just, this is fantastic that you guys are going to be a part of Kick Cancer. Kick Cancer will be March 17th. It's only $50. You can also donate. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation, which is a 501c charity. Basically, the Snowdrop Foundation provides scholarships for cancer patients. This is about pediatric cancer awareness. It's about fundraising, and it's about taking control of our soccer community and making sure that we are taking care of younger people that get afflicted with cancer. So this is an amazing thing. And really for you to put it forward at the United Soccer Club's meeting is fantastic, Olivier. And we thank you very, very much for that. Where can we get information on it? I believe it's at thedriven.net, right? And at Snowdrop Foundation.
Correct. Thedriven.net takes you basically, that takes you straight to the link. So for now, again, you'll see the Kick Cancer Camp hosted by the United Soccer Club. And that one is for the Houston venue. And I'm hoping that in the next few days, hopefully we can add another venue for the Western District in Austin or San Antonio for the Western clubs.
This would be fantastic. And by the way, at Glendabasock, at Soccer Matters GD, you'll see me posting the link there repeatedly. So that's a place you can click on it. Sign up right away. It's only $50. You can donate. Be a part of something special. Be a part of it with United Soccer Clubs. Be a part of it with Snowdrop Foundation. Be a part of it with Soccer Matters, because this is something special. And we'll have a lot of different guests out there speaking as well. All right, I want to take you back to your professional playing days in Houston. Houston Hotshots Indoor. We're going back to what is now Lakewood Church. It was the Summit then. Just describe a little bit of it back then, because there was great rivalries, like with Monterey La Raza playing in the Continental Indoor Soccer League.
Well, I don't know if my memory will go back that far. That's been that long then, right? But no, I'll tell you what, there was some great memories, really great fun memories of playing there in the Summit with a great bunch of guys. And, you know, we had some great owners, and the city of Houston really rallied behind the team. It was just a really, really exciting time. We had a great time. Obviously, like you say, we had some great derbies there at the Summit with Monterey La Raza, which basically you felt a lot of times like you were playing in Monterey. The atmosphere was amazing, you know, but the rivalry with the Dallas Sidekicks, and, you know, these were special moments that I will definitely remember.
Yeah, when it started out, the crowds weren't there, and then the crowds began to build, and including getting to a final where it was sold out, the Summit was amazing.
Atmosphere, the Summit was rocking.
Jorge Berlenghi was the owner, Trevor Dawkins the coach. You had the goalkeeper, Terry Waldorf. You had Mirko Castillo, Nebo Bandovic. Who am I missing?
Jim Ziad Allen, Paul Doherty, Beto Dos Santos.
Paul Doherty. It really turned when Paul Doherty was signed, didn't it?
That's basically when we turned into a winning team. You know, we really struggled the first couple of years. We were really competing. We had some great, exciting games, but we just couldn't get over that bar. And then Paul came in, and he just changed the whole dynamics of our team, basically turned us into a winning team and almost a championship team.
Yeah, he was a remarkable indoor soccer player. He also played with the San Diego Soccers. We're talking to Olivier Finidori. You know, things are different in the youth community now, but you guys have very much at Cyfair Dynamos have stuck to your beliefs in, you know, making it a club that remains personal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like I was just saying this to a soccer parent yesterday, talking about it, was saying something about how old I was, how long I've been around. But we were just talking about the Dynamos in general, the soccer scene. And, you know, we have stuck to our guns. We've always tried to stay who we are. We've never lost identity. And, you know, basically you have two clubs in Houston that are the two longest lasting clubs. You have the Challenge Soccer Club and the Dynamo Soccer Club that are the two longest lasting clubs here in Houston. You know, shortly after came the Albion Hurricanes, which you helped grow. You actually helped start that club. But I'm very proud of what the Dynamo was about.
It was only
Hurricanes. It was not Albion. That's right. It was the Bear Creek Hurricanes at that time. I actually remember doing sessions with you guys over there. So
yeah,
that's very much, much, very, very long time ago. But like I said, with Jim Walker, when he took over the Cyfair Dynamos, you know, he established the type of program that I just fell in love with. And he's been my mentor ever since. His idea, his philosophy about youth soccer, about soccer as a whole, has changed me as a person, and has definitely changed me as a soccer person as well. And we've never deviated from that trajectory. You know, we're still doing the same thing. We're all about player development. We have the big clubs over here that have different ideas. And whether or not we agree, we're all going in the same directions right now. I respect every single club in Houston or in South Texas. They all have great, great staff. They're all doing a great job. But we're different. It's not about being better or this. We're just different. And that's what a lot of people want. And that's what we've been able to stay successful and continue to grow.
You've kept it very, very personal. By the way, Jim Walker was the general manager of the Houston Dynamos in the 80s, also the Chicago Sting in the North American Soccer League. But then post the professional game, really put so much of his life into here in Houston, the youth game. And he was honored at halftime of one of the games at Energy Stadium in recent times. But if there was a Hall of Fame, this would be the first man inducted into it. Olivier, listen, thank you so much. Really excited. Kick Cancer, March 17th. It's $50. It's thedriven.net. Driven.net. And also you can follow my links at Glenn Davis Sox, Soccer Matters GD on both Twitter and Instagram. I'll be posting the link there, but we want to get numbers. We want to get 125 plus easy. Before I let you go, just speak to me about, you know, the World Cup coming here in 2 years. We got Copa America this summer. We got the Gold Cup next summer. I mean, the content coming through is crazy. We'll probably get some huge brands when it comes to friendly matches with teams in Europe, but specifically the World Cup coming here and how you position it to the kids in your club.
Well, the thing is, it's so much bigger than the kids in our club, right? I mean, you know it, what the World Cup does, what it means, and the impact it's going to have on Houston is just it's just amazing, you know. And I don't think anybody can put their arms around it. And I am so proud of the group that was able to make this happen, to bring those games here to Houston. I'm really, honestly, what I'm hoping is it's going to go and change a lot of people's minds, raise the awareness of what this game is really, really about worldwide. And I know Houston has come a long way the last 30 years. And again, big thanks to yourself, Glenn, and the Bill McDonald and Jim Walker, Arthur Young, that have really established a soccer culture here. But now it's about to take a whole different dimension because, again, you know, the eyes of the world are going to be on Houston for a couple of weeks just talking about soccer. You know, I cannot wait to see all the friends from different countries, you know, dancing and everything that's going to be happening. The atmosphere that's going to be here on Houston is going to be so vibrant that I think it's going to open a lot of people's mind. And all the soccer people that are involved are obviously very passionate about soccer. So when you try to relate that to the children, to our players, you know, a lot of them get it. But once they get to see the and experience the World Cup, I think it's really going to open their eyes and really understand what we're all about, what we're so passionate about this sport.
I know you mentioned a few names there, but really it's the entire Houston soccer community. There are so many unsung heroes in this thing that, you know, back in the 70s and the 80s, I mean, it was about creating awareness for the game and spreading the lore of the game. And it's just been amazing how as the decades go by, you know, those things kind of change, right? I mean, I'm playing professional soccer in a high school stadium and, you know, now you have this incredible Shell Energy Stadium downtown. People wouldn't even imagine you played in high school stadiums or NFL stadiums that were empty. But, you know, there's so many people in this town that really have put so much into this game. And for them, it's also very, very exciting. And, of course, new memories will be made with parents and their children and, you know, family members. And as you mentioned, you know, if the Netherlands comes here, or Brazil comes here, so does their whole culture, right? We just got to make sure the French don't get here, right? Because you're French.
I'm just kidding. I'm hoping they'll get there.
The blue could be here too. Who knows? Olivier, thank you so much. We really appreciate everything. And thanks for pushing Kick Cancer forward with United Soccer Clubs. It's a big deal.
Glenn, thank you for all you do. And thanks for having me.
All right. Olivier Finidori, 34 years a technical director of Dynamo Soccer Club. He promoted Kick Cancer to everybody in United Soccer Clubs. They're all fully on board. March 17th, thedriven.net is where you sign up. Thedriven.net. It's only $50. We need you out there. T-shirt, $50. Clinic, all for an amazing 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation, to help fight pediatric cancer, provide scholarships, awareness, and more. That's going to do it tonight here for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Big thank you to Guillermo Lazo Romero, my producer. Even though he's a Barcelona fan, we love him. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Also, get the podcast of this show, Spotify, Google, Apple, also at ESPN 97.5.com. And until Wednesday night, I'm Glenn Davis. Remember, Soccer Matters.